Scott Lawrence got out his phone and started filming, something Pitiser taught him years ago. Keep a record. Do it yourself, Boyke, every time. That way you can be sure. Cover your ass. Don't trust any of them. Skulk began with Pitiser himself, what was left of him. On his back, fists curled up and in like a prize fighter, his head and shoulders shiny grey and featureless, his mouth a wide black O. Bits of the tyre still there, Dunlop, from when it was forced over his head, doused with petrol and set alight. What was left stank of rubber and brine. Skulk stepped away from the worst of it. He breathed out and, lifting his phone again, turned slowly, panning a circle into a rich man's death. Pitiser's body lay on tarmac in front of a low gabled building, probably the original slave quarters. Next to it stood a modern copy, a garage holding a Merc and a Jeep, both black, between them a gap. Across the tarmac, a timber deck and a pool, the kind where water comes to the edge, and a tennis court. When did Pitiser, strictly Vorse and beer, ever play tennis? Behind Skulk, the back of the farmhouse, Cape Dutch, the real thing, thatched roof and all. The fourth side of the square was open. Grapevines, gnarled and thick, marched in strict ranks to the foothills of the Hottentots Holland Mountains, whose peaks spiked sharp as knives against the sky on this golden summer morning. Skulk squinted up at them. He remembered Sunday drives in the Franschhoek Valley, their battered white valiant cruising into the village before fighting its way up the pass in second gear. They'd stop at the lookout, he and his parents, his father still with them then, stand and gaze at the heart of the Cape, at centuries of winemaking and civilized living. Not the place for a necklace. Not the first necklace Skulk had ever seen, not by a long shot, just the first white one. In South Africa, necklaces were black people's justice. During apartheid, necklaces were punishment for collaboration, and Skulk remembered one in particular, a man in his prime, shirtless and muscles glistening, the center of a tight circle of onlookers learning what would happen if they betrayed the struggle. The man was too scared or too confused to beg for mercy. Unresisting, he let them tie his hands behind him. He showed no expression as they forced him to his knees. When they put the tire over his head, he buckled and sank to the ground. Then petrol, flames. Apartheid was a quarter century gone, but necklaces lived on. Now they were used for revenge or money or community punishment. So, Skulk asked himself, what's this one all about? Next to him, Juppy Fortune adjusted his sunglasses. Juppy favoured the mirrored kind, classic aviator style. When he wasn't wearing them, they sat on top of his shaven head. What makes you so sure it's Pitiser? Shape of the body, and Skulk pointed to where things were clearer, calves emerging from blue board shorts. White. Who else is it going to be? You should know, said Juppy. Skulk pocketed his phone, thought how much he didn't want it to be Pitiser. Not because Pitiser didn't deserve it, but nobody needed the grief. Pitiser, formerly boss, apartheid's Bureau of State Security, murderers, torturers, bombers, general doers of evil. Famous for it, for getting away with it via the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Now, Pitiser wearing a necklace. Every news team in the country would want a piece of this. The day's heat was kicking in. Skulk and Juppy headed for the shade of an oak, where the local sergeant, name of Becky, waited with two constables. Becky was fat, legs splayed like tent ropes and arms folded on top of his belly. The constables, one on either side, rested on their haunches. Becky saluted, the constables snapped to attention, Skulk waved them down. At least Becky was on the ball. He phoned it in, the call bouncing from person to person until it reached Skulk's boss, Lieutenant Colonel C.Z. Zangwa of Cape Town Central Police Station. When Colonel Zangwa phoned Skulk, she told him this would be big, so find Captain Fortune and both of them get out there ASAP. Now she waited to hear what was what.